Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. As you know, the show is sponsored by reclaimingtherepublic.org as well as republicreview.org. And you are listening to the only show that actually cracks open what the solutions are, and we get into the details. I've actually read through them. Probably need to do that again sometime soon. But you are listening to the only show that provides the actual solutions of getting the federal government into compliance. It is a really, it's an indictment on how far we have slid as a republic. I mean, even the states are violating their own constitution. States are passing laws that are ex post facto laws that violates the U.S. Constitution. It is time. If we do not take a stand quickly, then we are in big trouble. So, the listen to number, if you want to listen to this show, is 605-562-4209. And of course, all of these shows are uploaded onto reclaimingtherepublic.org. So that's where you can get the podcast. I'm not sure about you, but I got violently ill today when I actually heard Pelosi speak, because obviously she was mocking the Constitution when she was saying that they're going to do their due diligence according to the Constitution. And yet they completely, I mean, here she is out doing negotiations and talking and speaking about American trades and so forth with all these different nations, poking her nose into something that's an actual violation of the Logan Act. We'll get into that a little bit more later. I'm going to get into more details regarding that. But it just makes me sick when I hear somebody like that want to use the Constitution when they find it convenient, but they completely trample on it and ignore it. She should be charged. I don't want to see a French Revolution where we just, you know, start beheading people. People need to be charged. They need to be fully brought up on charges and tried in a court. And it's not going to be a rigged court. We are actually going to bring forth all of the information, and we need to have justice, because these folks have to understand, and people need to understand moving forward, there are consequences to your behavior. If you are going to commit moral perjury, then you will have to suffer the consequences. And by the Constitution, the consequences of that is you are to be banned from public service for the rest of your life. That sounds like a good thing to me. It's not like we drag them out into the street and stone them or anything. Anyway, as I said yesterday, the Mueller report is really a huge distraction. Let these people just run around like chickens with their heads cut off. Do yourself and me a favor. Take a two-week hiatus on this whole thing. People are talking about it's just hyperbole. Let them kind of spin themselves out of this frenzy and get on with life. I'm here to tell you that if things move forward, there are consequences either way. By not doing anything, by doing something, and so forth, it's a distraction. What we need to do is we need to focus on compliance, getting the federal government back into compliance. Now, I still have this focus on tech and social media. So we're going to get into that as to how technology may be your friend, but how it is actually being used as a spy. So let me get into some quick groveling. I'm really trying to clip along because I do have a lot of stuff to share. And I'm going to cover some things that I won't be able to cover in detail, but I think they're important that you need to know about, especially regarding the Constitution, violations thereof, and so forth. As you know, we cannot do this by ourselves. We need support. We're getting support. We've got great support in Wyoming. What about your state? Why not get your state on board and starting the conversation? I'm here to tell you that once you start exposing people to this concept, to this It's not even a radical concept. It is a Thomas Jefferson, Jeffersonian concept. Get people to understand what the heck we need to do, because reasonable people, equally informed, seldom disagree. And once they understand what we're doing, they'll go, oh my gosh, why aren't we doing this? There's ways you can support us as well. So if you want to get involved directly, you want to be a leader or what have you, send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. Another way you can support us, and in all honesty, it's a financial way, but if you drink coffee, come and get your red state coffee grinds on. Or if you want to grind them yourself, get the whole beans. These are premium roasted beans. So please check it out. Try, order yourself a pound and get yourself on, and you tell me what you think. We'd like to know what you think of the coffee, okay? So please do that. I am going to be rushing in trying, not Russian, like collusion or anything. I'm going to be rushing in a hurry, trying to get a customer comment, or actually like a comment line, so people can actually start calling and leaving a message. That way we can pull these things in. Because I actually got a comment last night. I'll get to that a little bit later. Kenny B made some comments. So anywho, I will get to Kenny B in just a second. Two other organizations that I highly recommend you get involved with. The Constitution Club. Go to constitutionclub.ning.com. Get involved. That's Keith Broders, the one and only Keith Broders. You can be working with him and get his insights. He's a brilliant constitutionalist. Love the guy, and he is doing great things in trying to rescind the 17th Amendment. The OurFirstRight.org group, and all of these links are on our other links page, and I think it's still on our podcast page. Let me see here. Red State Talk Radio Podcast. Yeah, so that's where you would go, or our other links page. And you'll be able to get links to Our First Right as well as to the Constitution Club. Our First Right is trying to expand representation from 750,000 down to about 50,000. It's a huge deal. It is about getting you better representation, so people are actually representing you in Congress. The way they've been gerrymandering, you probably see a big shift in Congress as well by doing this. One other way you can support us is we have a crowdfunding campaign on GoFundMe. What we're looking for right there is just the cost of travel. If you can help us reimburse us on the travel expenses, we would greatly appreciate that. I also want to give you my thank you for tuning in and telling people to tune in as we continue to grow. As the message and our mission expands here, then it's because of you, because you're the one that's telling people, hey, you need to start tuning in. You need to be listening to the solutions. If not, you're a part of the problem, because anybody that's just complaining and they're not working on solving the problem, they're part of the problem. They're a part of the distraction. It's like too many cooks in the kitchen that's doing nothing, got their hands in their pockets, what have you. I did check the news. There is no sign of the federal government getting into compliance or disbanding any of its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers. That means, my friends, that we have to do it, period. We have to do it. Now, yesterday I played an interview with G. Edward Griffin, and Kenny B. thought I was going to have this great debate with him. Mr. Griffin and I really don't see too far off from each other. We don't disagree on much. And as a matter of fact, the point is, I've been saying over the past week or so, Dr. John R. Vile and I don't agree on some things, but in all honesty, we do agree on a lot of things. But again, he's a pure academic. He doesn't necessarily try to purport solutions. What he does is he shows you all the different alternatives that you can choose from. So that's what I love about the, you know, especially an honest academic like Dr. R. Vile. So John R. Vile. Anyway, some things that I wanted to get into, but let me talk about Red Pill Expo. It is June 7th, 8th, and 9th. It's in Hartford, Connecticut. You need to go there. You will be exposed to a lot of information and a lot of things that are going on that you had no idea about. I remember last year they were talking about some of these depression drugs, Prozac and so forth, and the ramifications of people taking those and the problems that nobody's telling you about in taking those. Lots of people, pharmaceutical makes a lot of money in those drugs because there's a lot of people in America that are diagnosed with depression and or something similar. America's just hopped up on drugs. And so you, if you go there, you will learn a lot of these things that you're not going to ever hear in the mainstream media. They do not want to ever talk badly or ill about these pharmaceutical companies. Fact of the matter is, these guys are the one of the largest industries in the world. It puts the weapons industry, the military industrial complex to shame. The medical industrial complex is far bigger, far worse than the military. And I'm just saying this because there is a responsibility for the government to have, you know, deterrence, to have weapons of war to protect us and so forth. So anyway, when we come back, I'm going to be diving into some news that I'm not covering and I hope to cover later on, but I want to get back into the Logan Act and give you some history and context on this. So please stay tuned and hopefully you can impart some of this stuff with your friends. We'll be right back. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. And so let me just kind of kick this quick round off, because this is kind of marketing right here. But let's talk about the religion of love, formerly known as the religion of peace. Apparently, if you haven't heard, there is a neck-breaking pace being set in Iran, where the Iranian girls are being forced into child marriage. And like I said, it is a record rate that they're doing this at. So just another perspective of the humanity involved in some theologies. Let me also reach out into this nether sphere of hypocrisy, where we can kind of talk a little bit about Bernie Sanders. I know people have been bringing this up, but it's kind of hard to look at a millionaire like him and how much money he hoards and the elitist lifestyle that he is living and still talk about taking from everybody else. I will tell you, anybody that is a communist or a socialist is a hypocrite, especially when it comes to politics. If you know somebody personally that's not a politician, but they're still you know, embracing communism and so forth, and tell them, hey, why don't you leave the keys to your car out there? Why don't you just leave your house wide open so people can help themselves? Because, you know, isn't that communal living? Isn't that what we need to do so that we share everything, right? Leave your bank account open. Don't be a hypocrite. So here's one of the things I do want to get back into. I don't have enough time, but this is news. If you haven't heard, there is a militia in New Mexico that is actually detaining illegals with gunpoint, holding these people that are coming across the border. Don't know, you know, kids, adults, Arabs, what, we don't know. We know that there's a complete mix. A lot of them are bad players, or some of them are bad players. Sometimes it's a lot. Anyway, the militia is out there doing its job. It is actually doing what it's supposed to do per Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution, protecting us from invasions. And the New Mexican governor actually is complaining that the militia is fulfilling their duty, even though they're not being equipped and trained and everything else. And so we'll see. I'll try to see if I can get an interview with this, I'll just say, wacko politician, this hack that doesn't understand the Constitution, because either that or maybe they don't say an oath to support the Constitution in New Mexico. I don't know. Another thing that's kind of interesting, and there, because it came up in the news, and I was looking at the pictures and the images of the Paradise Fire and some of the other fires in Northern California. And I will tell you, if you've never heard of DEW, you need to. These are called direct energy weapons, where they actually use energy in frying things. And there is a great amount of evidence. There is more evidence that supports that DEW weapons were used in Northern California that caused these fires, that killed people, took their homes, and everything else. Look it up. Go look at these fires. It's just a clean, it almost looked like a fire tornado tore through there. Why didn't the rest of the forest burn? Why did only the houses burn down this block? And so if you start looking at, you know, what was being done, you're going, it almost looks like this was a deliberate destruction of urban developments or what have you. Anyway, and one more thing I just kind of want to gloss over, because I'm not a real supporter. I've never supported separatists in any degree. But there is a high level of hypocrisy in America. And I talked about this the other day, contrasting with white nationalism and the other far left radical groups. That's right. White nationalists, Black Lives Matter, all of these different, La Raza, they are all radical left organizations. And there is a huge hypocrisy in addressing, you know, one separatist group from another. It seems like, you know, it's okay to go after the white nationalists, but they, you know, it's hands off with all the rest of these groups. No, we have to have a consistent standard. Now, why do I say that they're all on the left? Or, well, technically, if you look how I lay out the scale of liberty, the subjugationists are actually on the far right, and the left is where the liberty lovers are. If you are a full supporter of individual liberty, individual sovereignty, then you do not fall into a separatist category, because you believe that everybody should have the liberty and sovereignty to make choices for themselves and not be subjugated by any government or any other form of oppression, whether that be corporate slavery or what have you. And so anybody that is telling you that the white nationalists are an extreme right group, they're not. And they're lying to you. What they're trying to do is they're trying to obfuscate the reality. The reality is that there's just a uniqueness of the demographics that these particular people hate more than another. Just like the Black Lives Matter, just like all of these other La Raza and so forth. There are, you know, nuances, but they're all the same. They have nothing to do with individual liberty and individual sovereignty, and they're willing to strip people of those things so that they can have the ends that they're seeking. They are looking for a very specific outcome, and so we have to call things for what they are. And when we're talking about these types of organizations, do not let the left tell you that, oh, these guys are on the right, right? Okay, so I mentioned this before, and I think it's worth mentioning again, but as we, and I'm telling you, take a break. Get away from this Mueller crap. Deuteronomy 19. This is Old Testament, but this is not Mosaic law. This is just good law. And it goes verse 16 through 19. If a false witness rise up against any man to testify against him that which is wrong, then both the men between whom the controversy is shall stand before the Lord, before the priests and the judges, which shall be in those days. And the judges shall make diligent inquisition, and behold, if the witness be a false witness, and hath testified falsely against his brother, then ye shall do unto him as he had thought to have done to his brother, so that thou put the evil away from among you. Adam Schiff, since he had no evidence, and since he was bearing false witness, he should be suffering the consequences of what he was seeking against Trump. All of these folks that are going down this path, and we catch them, that the fact is that they're lying, and I'll tell you what, the left has just a real hard time with being honest. They constantly obfuscate, they constantly lie, and it's the doctrine of Takiyah. It's a Muslim doctrine or Islamic doctrine where it's okay. You're not committing a sin if you lie or deceitful or what have you. And so I'm just here to tell you that if we start implementing common sense laws like this, then I'll tell you what, the We Too movement would be whittled down to very little. And there's all sorts of other things like that that would literally be whittled down and away. So let me jump into this Logan Act. And I asked you to read into this. Get involved in reading and learning about your history. If you read history, and when you're reading the history, and the author or the publisher starts referring to the party back in the early 1800s, late 1700s, there's a lot of historians that refer to the Republicans as Democratic Republicans. If you read this in any type of text or volume, article, or what have you, you need to, you know, instantly turn on your little flag warning, because what you are reading is a revisionist view of history. When you asked Thomas Jefferson what type of Republicans, of course, he said that they were Democratic Republicans, but they were Republicans. We still have Democratic Republicans today. We believe in allowing people to vote for their representation as well as towards issues and so forth, the legislation, what have you. The fact of the matter is, when Thomas Jefferson went into his inaugural address after beating John Adams, he didn't say we're all Democratic Republicans. He said we're all Republicans, we're all Federalists, because that was the name of the party. the Democratic portion on the front end was just an adjective. It was just putting some nice marketing spin because people back in those days, only the educated really understood Republicans as well as, you know, most people understood democracy. Most people understand that that means that, you know, the people get to vote. Some people don't understand the types of Republicanism. Sometimes, just like in the Senate was appointed by legislators. It's not like the people got to vote for their senators, but we did get to vote for those state legislators. So that's how we had a check on the state senators. Anyway, I can't believe I've already ran out of time. So I've got two more segments to cover this and a few other really important issues. So I'm going to try to fly as fast as I can when we get back, because we're going to dive into some real history on the Logan Act. We'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
So let me point out one little piece of information or kind of an anecdotal bit of information. If you look at who wrote this, this act was written in 1799. So who wrote this? It wasn't a bunch of Roosevelt progressives, right? This was framers. These men understood the Constitution. Ironically, after the Progressive Era, this is where more and more people within government, progressives in government, looked at the Logan Act as unconstitutional because it was restrictive. And then some people said it's not really well defined. I'm okay with clearly delineating this, but we clearly need to have a line in the sand that keeps people like Pelosi from overreach, right? She's talking about separations of power. She has no ability to go and deal with, you know, whether it be emissaries or whether she's dealing with heads of state or what have you. It's one thing for her to go on a vacation, but for her to have the official capacity to go and meet with foreigners, that to me flies in the face of the Constitution. That power is delegated to the president and to his executive departments. In other words, Pompeo and so forth are the only ones, based on what President Trump wants or the sitting president desires, that's what has to be supported. And you know she's an enemy to the president. You know she's out there undermining. She is violating the Logan Act. So let's look at a little bit of this history that we have. And like I said, I'm absolutely okay with people trying to go in and either cleaning up, clarifying, defining, because the language may be a little bit archaic for most people to understand, you know, some of the words or what have you. I don't think it's that difficult. But let's get this thing clarified so that we can start enforcing. But again, I do beg you to please go read this so that you understand what the heck this Logan Act is, because it has been getting violated a lot lately, especially because of the deep state. And like I said yesterday, the irony is that it was the progressives, the monarchists, those who wanted to aggrandize government, was the one that created this act. And today, the globalists are the ones trying to keep deals in place that holds America hostage, like what Pelosi is doing, where we're subsidizing the growth of socialism and communism around the world. Now, there's a way to reach out to Trump. Go to whitehouse.gov and get involved by just saying, hey, how about the Logan Act and shutting Pelosi down? Now, in the history of the Logan Act, there was only two indictments that have ever been handed down under this act. The first occurred in 1803 when a grand jury actually indicted Francis Flourney, and he was a Kentucky farmer, who had written an article in the Frankfurt Guardian of freedom under the pen name of a Western American. And so in this article, he advocated a separation in the western part of the United States that would actually ally with France. And so he was actually sending communications out to France in trying to create a French American on the western side. And, you know, and on the eastern side of America, that would be the actual American government. In other words, it was almost like he was trying to take us backwards to become a colony under France again. Well, anyway, he was indicted, but they did not actually convict him because the Louisiana Purchase was the, I think, either that same year or the following year. And it made the whole argument moot because that was now American property. In 1852, a man by the name of Levi became the second, and to date he's the last, that was actually indicted under the Logan Act. And he was a merchant that was actually a merchant sailor that was trying to create a deal with Mexico so that they would have a railway. And the United States government was working to actually put a rail line in place. But he was trying to, and he literally told him, hey, just ignore that. Don't do what the American government wants and let this other company do this. And so he kind of got caught in, you know, trying to help a different, a rail line building company or what have you. But bottom line is, here was a deal that was being worked out with the president and his executive staff in trying to create this rail line into Mexico. And here was an American that was undermining the American mission, the principles, what the president wanted to do. And clearly that is identified with the president in Article 2 of the Constitution. So here's a little more history on this. In 1975, Senators John Sparkman and George McGovern were accused of violating the Logan Act when they traveled to Cuba and met with officials there. In 1984, President Reagan actually got pretty upset with Jesse Jackson, who had traveled to Cuba and Nicaragua as well. And he tried to come back with political prisoners seeking asylum. He was not representing the United States. He never had been a public servant, as far as I know. He's ran for office, but he's never been a duly elected person. And that was a huge problem. And he overstepped his bounds. He should have been indicted and actually thrown in jail. America would have been far better off had we actually enforced the Logan Act against Jesse Jackson. Another point in time during the Reagan tenure was Teddy Kennedy. Teddy Kennedy was running, if you want to call it secrets and so forth. He was providing information to Russia, undermining everything that Reagan was trying to do in the negotiations of the Cold War. Go look it up. Teddy Kennedy was acting like an agent for the Soviet Union. And it was just like, you got to be kidding me. Here's a guy that does not deserve to be in a national cemetery. I even have a problem with any politicians being buried in a national cemetery. The founders, the framers, as more aptly put, the framers were absolutely abhorrent. And the concept was just repulsive to them in having any type of special access over the regular public. They were just people doing a job of nobility. They weren't to be demigods, and they didn't want that. John Adams, I've said this many times before, John Adams, even though he was broke, John Quincy Adams shouldered the burden in burying his father, even though Congress and the United States government said, hey, we'd like to cover the cost of that. He said, no, it's our responsibility. And that's what John Adams would have wanted. That's what George Washington. All of these men wanted to actually be responsible for themselves and not have the country mollycoddle them. And so just so you understand, the paradigm back then, honor meant more than life. Today, it's just like, are you kidding me? That's how debased we've gotten. And so here's a little irony I wanted to share with you. Everybody's heard about Representative Steve King and how he's kind of gotten gotten in trouble lately with some of the things he has said. In June 2007, King introduced legislation that would prohibit then Speaker of the House and now Speaker of the House from drawing on federal funds to travel to foreign states which the U.S. deemed to sponsor terrorism and so forth. I honestly think that they should have actually made it illegal for her to travel anywhere. If she wants to travel around the world, it should be on her own dime. Why are we, the taxpayers, paying for this and her entourage? This is killing me, folks. Clearly, she's violating the Logan Act. November of 2017, former President Obama went out to meet with the Chinese President Xi and the Indian Prime Minister Modi and actually went out there and spoke in various summits and so forth regarding American policies, violating the Logan Act. Obama also scheduled to go out, and I'm just trying to remember what it was. I believe it was... it was Kerry, and that was in 2018. If you remember, Kerry actually went out to Iran and other places to get involved in some of these deals, directly undermining what Trump was trying to do. And there's no doubt in my mind, he was violating the Logan Act. Bottom line, the continuance of travel by the Bushes, Obamas, Clintons, and many other progressives like Kerry and so forth, Al Gore, in trying to further the progressive globalist agenda, that is a direct violation of the Logan Act. And we all know that they're deliberately trying to undermine the sitting president's policies and negotiations. We're not supposed to have the same policies and standards. If America wants to change because we voted for a new president, that doesn't mean we have to be held to those same negotiation tactics and standards. It's time to move on, my friends. We've got a new president in town, and we need to let him dictate what the foreign policies are. And so if you ask me, I truly believe that we have to get to a point where we literally... I'll just say we restrict, harshly restrict these people from being able to go and meet with foreign officials, corporations, or what have you. And we have to have either full disclosure or they can't meet, they can't travel, and keep them here. Anyway, when we come back, we've got a few more topics for you, so I'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Folks, Red State Talk Radio has brought back its monthly newsletter. I know everyone gets a lot of emails, but this is not a daily or weekly newsletter. It's a monthly newsletter. So you will not be overwhelmed with a plethora of emails from Red State Talk Radio. Come on, it's only once a month. I'll be contributing a constitutional perspective to one of the current issues to help everyone see an alternative perspective, or what I believe would be a framer's perspective regarding the issue to help us maintain a constitutional paradigm. I will also provide information regarding a significant historical context to the time of year so that we can remember our history, so we will not be doomed to repeat the inevitable failings from forgetting our past and origins. Just go to Red State Talk Radio and sign up for the newsletter. This way you can get a focused view of what is going on in the Republic as well as what is going on at Red State Talk Radio. Thank you. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Okay, let me pick up a new topic here. Yesterday, I really ran out of time, and I wanted to dig into this Gallup poll. So I was telling you about a Gallup poll done in 2018, and the poll indicates, well, not even indicates, it actually shows that there has been a significant, a 20% drop in church membership over the past 20 years. I also mentioned that the demographics with the greatest reductions were among the Democrats and Hispanics. So let me kind of move on and add a little bit to this point, because I think it's kind of important. The poll points out and points to the Democrats as, you know, the leader in the decline. Let me ask you, who are the Democrats? Well, the Democrats are secular, godless people. And over the past 20 years, or at least their ideologies are, there may be some people that are going to Christian churches or what have you, and they're clueless and they have no idea how godless the Democrats are. I mean, look at them today. The Democrats are actually in support of infanticide. You think that lines up with Christianity? There's lots of different things, whether it be welfare, whether it be mandated vaccinations and so forth. Any of those types of things are, if you ask me, are direct violations of the fundamental tenets of Christianity. But I want to point this out. Over the last 6 years, we've had about 24 million kids enter into the electoral process. And as these kids become adults, you're going to find, because you got to understand, even though they may be 18, they're not still registered as adults because they don't own their own home. So they're not showing up on the census because they're still either over in school or they're down in mommy and daddy's basement. you know, and so they're dependent, and they're technically dependent until they're 26 years old, right? Because that's what Obamacare has done, because parents have to keep their kids covered. I don't know if that actually went away or not. It should have. It all should go away because it's all unconstitutional. But my point is that you're going to see a very large drop, because if it's a 50% in 2018, that was not a steady 1% a year. I can tell you over the last few years, it has dropped significantly. And that's because of our education system. There's no other excuse for this, really. The school system, along with the mainstream media and the entertainment industry, is supporting these concepts that there is no God, that, you know, you live life, be happy, you know, eat, drink, and be merry, all of that type of stuff. So the question I have, and I'm going to ask you this, because you're going to be going through the week, weekend, and what have you, over the course of the next, you know, month. Who else is talking about this? I've been telling you that they've been debasing our society. This is direct evidence that proves that we are being debased, that we're losing our focus on enlightenment and higher learning, because going to college just is not necessarily higher learning. It's actually a lower debasement by going. I mean, look at these kids and what they're doing at school. They demand to be able to morph themselves into any sexuality that they want. I mean, come on. If you're looking over the next decade, and I've talked about this several times, 4 million kids a year, it's almost a perfect clip. Go look at the demographics. There are almost 60 million kids in, you know, ages from kindergarten to 12, right? And so that's what, 12 grades there. How many, you know, if you divide that 60 million by 12, what is that, 5? It's almost, you know, it's almost 5. So the 4 million kids a year, my friends, and they're all coming out of these indoctrination centers. If you don't understand what this means, we will be done. We're going to be cooked, because the kids that have been coming out and have been into the system and are actually able to vote in 2020, 2022, 2024, one of these points in time, the critical mass will fall. And when it does, you will rue the day. The only thing, and I'll tell you why Republic Review is the only thing that can save us, because if states stand up and assert their rights, and they state and assert federal government, you have no authority to do these types of things. The only thing that can change our Constitution, that can change our way of life, and that can give you these powers to do these things to us, is the Article 5 process. In other words, you have to pass an amendment to the Constitution if you want to mandate health care. And oh, by the way, we're not going to let you. So don't even think about it. Get back into doing the things that you're supposed to be doing. When states start actually asserting their constitutional authority over the Constitution, it will send the message. The kids will have to learn, what is this? Are you kidding me? This Constitution is going to keep us from being able to throw away our liberties by a democracy? Absolutely. And I'm telling you, my friends, the Constitution is the solution. I hate to make that sound like a really, I hated that cliche as for so many years, because most of the people really didn't understand the Constitution. They didn't find this, you know, get rich quick scheme, or, you know, to solve all of your health problems type of elixir. Republic Review is, and there's no doubt. I mean, if you have questions, if you don't believe that this will work, send me an email. And hopefully soon I'll actually have that comment line. I'll let you berate me and I'll play it. The point is that we do have the authority. The states absolutely have the authority to step in. And they can actually make this right by enforcing their contract. We're not talking about a convention to amend the Constitution. The Article 5 process is very clear. The amendment either comes from Congress, Or you have to have two-thirds of the states petition the federal government to amend the Constitution. Then Congress will appoint a place and time, and then the states will meet and work on creating an amendment. But either way, it will require three-fourths of the states to ratify. That is a solid piece, that it still requires whatever amendments come out, they have to get three-fourths of the states to ratify. And I'm telling you, if somebody comes, because there's a lot of people, John Birch would say, oh, well, they could change all of that. I'm telling you, if they make those types of changes, there's way too many states that would say no way. And as a matter of fact, here's the other thing that a lot of people won't tell you. Even if the convention actually goes off and creates these amendments, states do not have to ratify. There are six states that never ratified the 17th Amendment. They just basically said, we're not even going to touch this. This is an insult. We're not even going to sully ourselves with this. And so if you understand, it's the same thing with the Constitution ratification. Rhode Island didn't do anything. Were they in violation of the Constitution? No. It was just a recommendation that the state legislators formed conventions to actually debate and ratify. There were a few states that didn't do it. Rhode Island was one that actually, when they ratified it, they didn't even follow the process. And I don't even believe Delaware followed the process, really. I don't think that they actually had a real convention. They just, I think, elected some people really quick to go vote for it, and it was a slam dunk. My point is, my friends, with these 60 million kids coming in, we do not have a lot of time. So let's get serious. Let's start taking our vitamins, getting good sleep, you know, and, you know, getting fresh and healthy so that we can stand and do a good fight, because it's going to take a little stamina over the next 3, 4, 5 years if we get that many. If we get that many. So I just want you to understand that when I'm telling you that we have probably 2022 or 2024, those are hard numbers. And so if you're not going to get involved, then you better look at moving into a dark red state, because that's one of the things that may help, you know, I'll just say protect you a little bit, insulate you a little bit from the ravishings that's going to occur when all of a sudden everything flips to communism in these dark blue states. If you own property, they're probably going to try to steal your crap, because once they get rid of the Constitution, they are going to go crazy over socialism and communism. And I'm here to tell you that in the 2022-2024, that critical mass is going to be the Bolshevik revolution that the progressives and the communists have been looking for years. And that Bolshevik revolution depends upon useful idiots. And your kids are the useful idiots. Maybe not yours, but our kids that are in that school system are the useful idiots for this Bolshevik revolution. And I'm telling you, it's not a constitutional convention that they're going to be doing this on. They're just going to do this as a democracy. That's why Republic Review, which also isn't a convention or a constitutional convention, that's why Republic Review is really the only thing that's going to anchor the Constitution to keep it from getting sullied, torn up, shredded, whatever you want to refer to it as. So that's why it is really important. And so my question for you is, what is it going to take? What do we need to say and do? Do you need to look at the data? Are you a doubting Thomas? Or do you understand that what I'm speaking of is the hard, cold facts? This is a reality check. When are you going to commit? If you do not commit soon, then you better be praying for the rest of us that are committed that we have the successes we need to save your sorry butt. Anyway, I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.